infection.
Well, sexually transmitted diseases became.
Adam Newton. Transmitting disease, and it's all sexual, so unless we're going to actually discern and break down, stand on our knees before the great altar of holographic delusions, it's all everything. But if we are, then on with the show, of course. A show every minute. In the Byzantine world of the variations. Variations on themic variations. Gerens uber alles, my friends. Out of the Newton, world's capital of archived before Betamax visuals of bedroom game playing. I don't mean the sexual kind. I mean the kind played by children. Secretly filmed, but not by their parents. And archived. Oh yeah. Cross platform indexed, discerned, quantified with a twist, accessible. That's the word. Gotta have it. And that's what this is the home of, not this show or this station, just the little town of Newton, although it's not public knowledge, so don't go calling them on it or anything. I don't want to do that. Break the spell. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. That's the name I'm going by. Sounds like a real name. .3 FM. And .org on the dead internet. It's all over. We're still on it, though. It's over. So they're taking the digital out of there, and as soon as they have replaced that with cyborgian elements, high and low magic as well, we're going to get that bugger back up and cooking, communicating. So there's temporarily no internet for a while, except for a few close to the ground radio stations like this. .617-552-4686 and email for the major, GaryG4@Mac.com. GaryG4@Mac.com. Only emails with attachments, please.
Well, sexually transmitted diseases.
Extraterrestrials are on the moon is actually called extraterrestrials are on the moon and Mars.
point, we were just sort of hoping they'd get back down. But a storm came up, and unexpectedly, the mountain was just engulfed by the worst, most intense storm I've ever seen.
Cathode Ray Tube right now. New CD, Sub-Zero Sensei. A local dude, www.c-fom.com. In Somerville, Mr. Cathode Ray Tube, Sub-Zero Sensei.
Suddenly terrified. He's just seen art impinge itself on reality. How can someone step out of a movie screen and into real life?
As a manual therapist. Yeah, we can. Well, I haven't done any exercise. Really,
and we're talking. You know, I'm working with my hands, and it may be very simple, but a whole other thing is happening. Energetically speaking, I'm clearing out blocked energy and opening up this flow of life force.
Certainly so. Our words cannot fully convey it. They cannot fully convey the pleasure and the joy that we experience, the pleasure and joy that we know.
We knew that they were still out high above their camp, which would have been their shelter. So we were quite nervous about them, and it got dark, and we still had no word that they were back. And in fact, they did not get back. They were stuck out in that storm, and they were unable to get back to their tents.
Ceremonial wigs, body decorations, and perhaps even a pig's tuft through the nose. Ironically, in view of their brutal and warlike past, men in Papua New Guinea just like to get dressed up.
Thank you. You don't know where the idea came from for this.
I never know, really, with the exception of the four adaptations that and the one biographical play, Three Tall Women, I've never known consciously where any of the ideas have come from.
The journey, so the exploration begins, so the work of this night underway. What is cosmic memory? We did an intensive on it back in 1999, and that is so, some of you were there. But what is cosmic memory? Then we related it to the magician's journey. What is cosmic memory? To get a grasp of it, as you say, it cannot be completely or clearly defined or fully described, but to get a grasp of it, to understand first memory. What is memory? Memory is a container. It is a receptacle. It is non-local, meaning that it does not exist in any particular location. Scientists attempt to locate the place in your brain, much to their frustration. It's not located in any particular place. It is threaded through this holographic-like brain of yours. It is non-local. It is nonetheless a container. It is a receptacle, non-local in its nature, until it is sought, until you use observing and measuring devices, and then it appears to or seems to collapse here, right where you need it to be.
Also hook up with Access Sacramento Television if that might be more of your interest. We also have a neat radio station. There's actually two radio stations that are run through Access Sacramento. One is the Community Access KCBL, and the other is a radio station for the blind. And so if you have an interest in providing radio services to blind people in Sacramento,
there's another thread here which is important.
Gee, I thought you were going to say infection. <laughs> You know?
Well, sexually transmitted diseases became a big part of the discussion really as early as the 1880s. Mm-hmm.
Your steps become one, and you step into the academic you and walk out the door. Back in the grand corridor once more.
Don't smoke pot, said the alcoholic skeleton. Let your liver rot, said the junkie skeleton. Can't we get a fix? Said the big brother skeleton. Tell the judge for kicks. To the mirror skeleton. Hey, good looking.
Didn't let anybody know. He was real sweet before he went to the war. When he came back, he was drunk a lot.
So I was at Camp 3 at that point, which was a place where I could... I would be unable to even treat anybody. We were 2,000 feet below them. They were almost inaccessible to us, but...
So much of all of Iran, Sirius as her gateway and as the center of all that is sacred. The pyramids, not really the tombs as so many academicians still contend, were temples and monuments of the celestial bodies. They were temples to the goddess and to Sirius, her gateway and portal, the gateway and portal. The Great Pyramid of Cheops aligned with all directions, aligned to the east, aligned to the rise of Sirius. The chambers that have been found and the ones yet to be discovered and explored are strategically positioned in reference and deference to Sirius and all that the vortex represents. Whatever else the pyramids may be, they are also monuments to the stars. Monuments to Sirius.
create this wonderful software, and somebody would come and say, thank you very much, I'm now going to sell this for $1,000. So he spent a lot of time talking to lawyers and came up with this truly innovative document, because, as I say, in effect it turns conventional licensing on its head. Ensure that his creations would remain free for all people for all time.
With a meditation. And so, dear one,
I mean, it's only a matter of how tight you draw the metaphor that you realize, you know, I've been coming and going from Los Angeles recently a lot, and when the plane swings out over the eastern part of the city, looking down, it's like looking at a printed circuit. All these curved driveways and cul-de-sacs with the same little modules installed on each end of them. And you realize, you know, that as long as the Reader's Digest stays subscribed to and the TV stays on, these are all interchangeable parts.
When a system like Linux is not only free, but the source code is available to anyone who wants access to it, does it make it easier for somebody with the know-how to sabotage the Linux system?
Well, there are two schools of thought on this. Those who come from the more traditional software background indeed say that this makes it extremely vulnerable to people infiltrating the software and to including malicious programs. But those who are, if you like, more attuned with the whole open approach point out that if the software is open, then you can more readily spot any problems with it. And indeed, that's been shown the case over the last few years when many commercial programs have been found to have so-called backdoors, in other words, hidden capabilities that nobody knew about, and there was no way end users could ever find out about them.
But that's the truth of capitalism. The point is to smash competition, eliminate it, make sure you can't ever have any.
And yet, at the same time, you carry forth with such dignity and effect.
WZBC in Newton. New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman. Trying them on. Wait till I get to the triple discounted pair of heels. That special number two heel kept in the back with a special color coating on it, which gives the salesman 10% extra if he moves that pair. We'll find it. We're going to get to it.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. A contract dispute at public radio station WBUR in Boston has ended with the departure of the host and producer of one of the station's most popular programs. Christopher Lydon and Mary McGrath had proposed creating a for-profit corporation to produce the show The Connection and own its copyrights. Host Lydon and producer McGrath proposed co-owning the corporation with WBUR. Station officials rejected the proposal, and last month they suspended Lydon and McGrath for insubordination. Then today, most of the remaining Connection staff resigned. NPR's Rick Carr reports.
The Connection airs weekdays on 74 public radio stations, but its strongest base of support is in its hometown, where it airs between 10 a.m. and noon.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. Kosovo syndrome is the name for deadly illnesses contracted by NATO troops after the 1990s.
The show's audience has grown from just over 100,000 not long after it went on the air in Boston to almost 400,000 nationwide. Former host Christopher Lydon says last summer the show's future looked good. It was already airing nationally and had turned into a major draw for listener support and corporate underwriting. Lydon says National Public Radio was interested in widening distribution of The Connection, and that's when he and Mary McGrath proposed joint ownership of the show to WBUR.
All we ever asked for was a partnership in the growth of this broadcast, which meant both guiding the vision of it as well as sharing in the upside. We're not talking about multi-millions of dollars. We didn't know how this would go.
WBUR officials declined comment for this story. In a statement released after Lydon and McGrath left the show, station management said that the proposal for a for-profit company was, quote, incompatible with the station's mandate as a non-profit institution and incompatible with our reliance on individual contributions. Instead of offering Lydon and McGrath a share of the show, WBUR raised their salaries. Lydon was paid a base salary of $230,000 a year with a potential five-figure bonus. By comparison, NPR's potential highest paid on-air employee is Bob Edwards. In the fiscal year between 1998 and 99, the last for which public records are available, Edwards' total salary was just over $206,000. Lydon says the salary increase failed to address the central issue that concerned him and McGrath. They felt that the intellectual capital of the Connection staff was more important to the show than the physical capital WBUR provided for its production.
Brain power is more important than the building. It's more important than the brand name. Who has the insight, the confidence, the ability to extend the vision? Is it the people who claim the brand name? Is it the people who own the microphones? Or is it the people who had the idea in the first place, who do it every day?
WBUR contends that the station, not Lydon and McGrath, created the show in 1993. Nevertheless, Lydon's is an argument being made increasingly by workers in the so-called content industries, journalists, recording artists, writers, and so on, who are trying to take back some control of their work from the companies that produce, promote, and distribute it. Siva Vaidyanathan is a fellow in the Department of Communication and Culture at New York University. He says the catalyst for these struggles is technology, primarily the internet and inexpensive production equipment, which can make it easier for people to create and distribute their work outside of a corporate structure.
If, thanks to technological change, they don't need the classic gatekeeper to perform all of these different functions, like publicity and distribution and reproduction, then maybe they can bargain for better terms. What we're seeing is the people at the top of their game, though. We're seeing Stephen King try to produce books without a publisher. We're seeing professors trying to put online courses outside of their primary universities.
In public television, it's not unusual for hosts to own stakes in their shows. News anchor Jim Lehrer does, so does interviewer Charlie Rose.
Tonight, the woman behind eBay, Meg Whitman.
eBay has opened the world to you as a seller, and conversely, buyers have a whole lot more choice at the ease of their fingertips.
And the man behind The Sopranos, David Chase.
People's lives are governed by bureaucracies and institutions and media.
It's much rarer but not unknown in public radio. Car Talk is one example. That show also got its start at WBUR, and Christopher Lydon said also wanted a similar arrangement. The station counters that, unlike Lydon, Car Talk's hosts started as volunteers and hence could go out on their own and create a for-profit corporation. While Garrison Keillor may own copyrights on the material he creates for his show, A Prairie Home Companion, he does not share ownership of the show with Minnesota Public Radio.
Sir, I hate to interrupt you while you're having a good time, but I do have to come out and say just a word here about powder milk biscuits.
Heavens!
Because...
On the other hand, Ira Glass does own half of the public radio show he created and hosts, This American Life. Public radio station WBEZ in Chicago owns the other half. Glass says joint ownership gives him more say in the business of the show.
Should we put out a book? Should we go with this distributor or that distributor? Just any kind of major business decision. The host is going to have to be part of that decision, and the producing entity is going to have to be part of that decision. Also, the copyright is held by us mutually, which means that the radio station can't go around selling the archives of the show to some huckster, and I can't go around doing it. That is, we're in business together, we got to decide together.
Glass says in theory he could keep half of any surplus This American Life might accrue once operating expenses are deducted from money the show raised from corporate underwriters, station fees, and other sources. In practice, the surplus is rolled back into the show because, he says, the business of fundraising is so time-consuming. Glass worries that listeners will draw the wrong conclusion from the dispute over the connection.
Listeners might hear us during the pledge drive and think that we're all making, you know, $230,000, which most definitely isn't the case. Most public radio is done the way that we did our show in our first year, which is $230,000 paid for everyone's salary and all the costs and everything.
A sample of public radio listeners yesterday in Harvard Square seemed to indicate that the dispute between Christopher Lydon and WBUR hadn't tainted their opinion of public radio. Jessica Osban lives in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
I don't even know what their salaries were, and I don't really care. I think he does a great job, and I really miss the show.
My name's Edward. Well, I thought it was excessive what he was asking for, but no, it wouldn't affect the amount I would get to public radio, no.
My name is Patty Sides, and no, the salary disclosure hasn't changed my attitude. I think talented people deserve as much as they can negotiate for.
The dispute may even be a good thing for public radio. Jack Mitchell was NPR's first employee and the first producer of All Things Considered. Now he teaches journalism at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and has just finished writing a history of public radio.
In some respects, it's a great sign of success. Certainly 30 years ago, it's inconceivable that anybody would, first of all, be talking these kinds of numbers, and second, that anybody would care.
As more people have come to care about public radio has come to care more about market forces. Mitchell says a host who can command listeners' loyalty can demand a substantial salary.
The question really is, how much is this individual worth to public?
Adam Newton, just a guy named Joe, riding alone, porous through the canyon, with a can of beans in the saddle, and a bucket of dreams. 90.3 FM, and .org up in the higher elevations. Kicking 112 clicks out there. If you are man enough and don't use the real player to get it, you might be able to hold that sound. Had to cut that little tape thing off there, that all propaganda considered from NPR there. It was at least not as biased as the local media about the Chris Lydon situation. ChristopherLydon.com has some better information. plus the online show. I think they've only been broadcasting one show a week for the time being. It's too bad I missed that show, because Chris Lydon, while essentially an NPR type guy, but not really, he was still alive and reaching out for more. Not a complete milquetoast, brain dead like all the other NPR walking, nice, pretty people automatons, firewalling the left for our own good, preventing anything left of the Ted Kennedy type of message to reach our ears. You can read Chris Lydon's response on that site, ChristopherLydon.com. The best I can construct from it is that basically they were assassinated by the, these aren't my terms, that the fat cunt over at NPR, I mean at BUR rather, basically did a capitalist grassy knoll job on them and published those buyout numbers of their salaries to assassinate them in the American version of capitalist delusion, where everything's money except when we name it. Then we get ashamed of things. It's like the working man's consciousness that a lot of the potato head people in this town have. Potato head is the bad Irish culture. Irish in the majority. Gone bad. And you don't have to be Irish to be a potato head in this town. Basically, Chris Lydon just wanted control of the show, which was all him, as we've seen since his departure, where they've wheeled out one milquetoast sellout brain fucker after another over there. Not my terms, just fair usage from things I've caught in the ether. Anyway, I'm not good in exposition here. Back to the art. At WZBC.
Radio listeners.
The salary is one thing. But the spoken owner's part of the show remains a thorny issue. The connection continues on WBUR with a temporary host. Meanwhile, Christopher Lydon and producer Mary McGrath have formed a production company. All of the connection staff who resigned are now working with them. Lydon says they're planning their next move. Rick Carr, NPR News, New York. New York.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Mathematical certainty that's almost sensual to me.
Yes, an order of finality.
Yes, organization.
She plays it with just incredible clarity.
Yes, she does.
Yes. I remember I used to have to sneak in my room to hear it when I was a kid. My family.
family was your usual dull bourgeois family. And there was really very little else for me.
Yeah. I guess my story is the same. My family was middle class, ordinary. And there was no relating. There was proximity, but no relating.
Can't be. The pressures are just incredible.
And of course, I had a great many difficulties, which I've been trying to resolve.
Yes, and I think you are. I mean, I haven't known you that long, but...
Yeah.
You know, when you consider the ambivalence of the woman's role...
Oh, it's incredibly ambivalent. It's so hard to resolve. It's so hard to acknowledge the fact that aggressiveness need not be hostile.
That's right. Yes, no. Adler was no fool.
No. I always thought of him as a fool, but he said some good things.
Yeah, no, I've reread him recently. There are insights there.
Yeah. Too many people think of Adler as a man who made mice neurotic. He was more. Much more.
Can you move over a little? I'm falling off the bed.
I'm sorry.
A great deal more.
Yes. Yes, he was.
It is a receptacle. It is a container. And what does it hold? It is a receptacle, a container where you put certain emotions. Nature, until it is sought, until you use observing and measuring devices, it's not located in any particular place. Meaning, but it does not exist in any particular location. The grasp of it, as you say, it cannot be completely or clearly defined or fully described, but it's night underway. What is cosmic memory? We did an intensive on it back in 1999, and that is so, some of you were there. But what is cosmic memory? Then we related it to the magician's journey. What is cosmic memory? To get a grasp of it, as you say, it cannot be completely or clearly defined or fully described, but to get a grasp of it, to understand first memory. What is memory? Memory is a container. It is a receptacle. It is non-local, meaning that it does not exist in any particular location. Scientists attempt to locate the place in your brain, much to their frustration. It's not located in any particular place. It is threaded through this holographic-like. Place, it is threaded through this holographic-like brain of yours. It is non-local. It is nonetheless a container. It is a receptacle, non-local in its nature, until it is sought, until you use observing and measuring devices, and then it appears to or seems to collapse here. Right where you need it to be. It is a receptacle, it is a container. And what does it hold? It is a receptacle, a container where you put certain emotions. that you have plans for future use. Not every emotion, but those particular emotions for which you have plans that you plan to use and work with in the future. You put the emotions, now remember, emotions are made up of an array of thoughts and an array of feelings. A network, an interlocking, an interlacing, if you will, of thoughts and feelings that make up emotion. Emotion is not just the feelings, it is not just the thoughts, it is the interrelationship or the interplay of thought and feeling, or series of thoughts and feelings that are emotion. And memory is a receptacle where you place emotion. The emotions that you want to use, the thoughts and feelings that you want to use in the future. Memory is a receptacle.
Come on, I almost fit in my red dress, the one I wore to your high school graduation, when your father liked so much. Oh, I remember how he looked at me in that red dress.
Mama, what's the big deal about the red dress?
I'm gonna wear it. You don't know. I'm going to be on television. I got a call and an application. And...
come on, Ma. Who's pulling your leg?
No. I'm telling you, I'm going to be a contestant on television. I don't know when yet. They haven't told me when yet. But you'll see how proud you are when you see your mother in a red dress, television, and golden shoes.
What is the big deal about being on television? Those pills you're taking will kill you before you ever get off, for Christ's sake.
Big deal? You drove up in a cab. Did you see who had the best seat? I'm somebody now, Harry. Everybody likes me. Soon, millions of people will see me and they'll all like me. I'll tell them about you, your father, how good he was to us. Remember? It's a reason to get up in the morning.
Society, the females get dressed up. In their society, the males get dressed up. Not only to attract a female, because they just think they look good. They imitate the bird of paradise, for instance, particularly the hoolies, the way they do their sing-sing and the way they put the feathers in their hair. They try and imitate the bird of paradise, and it's all part of their culture.
Some of these free programs have had problems found too, but they've been found before they've been exploited.
Okay, so we've talked about two very bright, very creative people who've made very important...
Okay, so we've talked about two very bright, very creative people who have made very important systems available for free, Richard Stallman and Linus Torvald. What do they do to make money?
21st Century America, WZBC. It keeps getting worse and less. We're almost at the Omega point. A little more stuff to get rid of, and we'll have a perfect justification for this entire 6,000-year-old civilization, ladies and gentlemen. Assuming that were possible, of course. I don't want to bust any balloons or anything. You just can't base an economy on artificial scarcity. You can't base spirituality on no God. You can't have half of a loop and call it whole. You can't have a hermetically sealed garage and call it science. Because science's secret agenda is to prove that this is all there is. The realm of the senses, and only five of those. The other seven waiting in the wings for later, for the post show. Just as science has been herded off to Auschwitz, so has the worth of an individual human being in modern artificial scarcity economics. That's what's nice about free software. If people have more freedom, they'll be worth more. And they'll naturally, of course, have more money when they need it. I think that goes without saying. Except I don't hear anyone saying that. Except on the margins. Adam Newton, W the Z, 90.3, and on the .org up there, rudely using the telephone lines, uninvitedly. And I think that's a good thing. Unfortunately, most people are using Windows. An unfortunate thing, but we'll get over it. We'll get that behind us soon enough. And then we'll have that quick cut edit, that jagged edge. And I don't mean MTV style either. And we'll get all those cable stations that can't get on the air now. I have ideas for two right away that would be very popular. Can't get on, though. Especially with Fox owning about a quarter of all of them. Worst multimedia conglomerate of all. The Murdoch. No wonder Ted Turner hates that guy. That Australian fat pig. He makes the other conglomerates look good.
They are a complete contrast in that respect. Linus Torvalds is very much a pragmatist, and he actually works for a company which makes proprietary devices. It's called Transmeta. It's down in Silicon Valley. And interestingly enough, they've come up with a way of producing a chip which is essentially compatible with the Intel chip family. And Linus has been very involved with this. It's interesting to know that it's not directly involved with Linux.
And I think the reason for that is his primary motivation for most things is the challenge, and he wanted to do something that was really quite different from what he'd already done in the preceding 10 years. So he is an engineer. He has the standard stock options, which have made him quite a wealthy man. He is married. He has three children. He drives quite a fast car. So he is sort of Mr. Normal in that respect. Richard Stallman, by contrast, doesn't work. That's to say, he devotes all of his time to programming to a lesser extent, and nowadays more to promoting and evangelizing his ideas. And he's able to do this in part because he was the winner of a so-called MacArthur Genius Prize some years ago, which gave him a sizable lump of money which he has invested to give him that freedom. So he is the antithesis in some respects of Linus, who is much more worldly.
A lot of our listeners will never have used the Linux system. What kind of computers does Linux on?
Well, the Linux kernel and the GNU Linux operating system runs on practically every computer that there has ever been, from the mightiest IBM supercomputer down to the Palm Pilot. One of the things that the people who create this software really enjoy is a challenge. And one of the greatest challenges is what's called porting, which is taking the GNU Linux system and making it work on new hardware. And therefore, there are people at this very moment who are creating new versions of GNU Linux to run on just about any computer system you can name.
Memory is a receptacle, a container, where you also, that also holds the precipitation, if you will, the condensation, the creation and manifestation, the reflections and expressions, the patterns, the functions and the forms that you intend to use in the future. See, it's not just this emotion, this series of thoughts and feelings about a thing, negative or positive. It is that. It holds those emotions. It holds those thoughts and feelings. But it also holds the precipitation or the condensation of those thoughts and feelings. It also holds the creation and the manifestation of those thoughts and feelings. The functions and the forms, the patterns and the events that you plan to use in the future. Now that's what personal memory, memory in this life, where you take those things out of your past, out of your present, out of your dreams, out of your altered state work, take them from wherever you find them, your emotions with thoughts and feelings, and you put them in this receptacle. You don't remember them every day. You set them aside. You put them in your memory. And you put the precipitation, the patterns, the events. I remember what happened on my 5th birthday, on my 10th birthday. I remember that event and this. I remember when you said this. I put the functions and the forms, the patterns and the events, the precipitation of this emotion with its thought and feelings in this container, in this receptacle, so that when I want to remember them, when I want to put them back together again, to use them again, I have them. Thank you.
This is this nightmarish thing which McLuhan and Wyndham Lewis and others foresaw, the creation of the public. The public has no history, has no future, lives in a golden moment created by credit, which binds them ineluctably to a fascist system that is never criticized.
That what you're going to do with this visual imagery is that you're going to step inside of it. Even if it is solid, you can step through its walls by whatever means, osmosis, by the wiggle of a nose, a blink of an eye, to allow yourself to step inside.
You come to the exit and walk outside. Beautiful day, and you look forward to enjoying the rest of your day. Now in a moment, I'm going to count from 1 to 5. And as I do, you will awaken, and you will awaken only if that is what you consciously desire most.
Do that.
Well, certainly with the increasing stranglehold that mega media has on just about everything that we see, hear, or read, it would seem to me that people who are, you know, committed to presenting something that's an alternative to that, these are real opportunities to not just sit on the sidelines and talk, but to actually get involved and go for it and try and do something.
Yeah, and I also think one of the things that's been really enjoyable for me is really demystifying the process of what goes into doing radio. Part of that was facilitated in not only doing the show, but also for several months, because the show was only available to cable subscribers, for several months in the summer when it started, it was rebroadcast on a pirate radio station in Sacramento that has unfortunately disappeared. But through that process, I was able to see the power that we have within the media, that there's no reason that we can't be broadcasting our material, whether using quote-unquote legitimate channels or setting up our own illegitimate channels. It's power that we have if we choose to take it.
Well, about the pirate stations in Sacramento that were shut down, and do you know why? Were they FCC shutdowns, or did they, you know, what happened with that?
Well, there were two pirate radio stations that I was aware of in Sacramento. I'm assuming, I may be wrong, but I'm assuming they were the only ones that were active in the last year. One was a small radio station that broadcast in downtown Sacramento, and that was the one that my show was on. And it was basically shut down because everybody who was running the station got evicted from their house by their landlord for reasons unrelated to the station, and none of them were able to set up a stable environment to actually run the station again. It was called Chicken Fried Radio, and it was on here for about 3 or 4 months around the summer of 96. Another station that got a little bit more press and was significantly larger in that it was running 40 watts and broadcasting through most of South Sacramento was a station called Community Power Radio, which was actually set up by the Nation of Islam. And in spite of that, provided some excellent programming. And they did get shut down by the FCC after broadcasting very openly. I mean, they had flyers all around town telling about the station. They had articles in the newspaper telling about the station. And after about 6 months, they received an FCC injunction. And last I heard, they had planned on fighting it, but it seems like that hasn't materialized because the money to do that has not been forthcoming.
It's by the wiggle of a nose, a blink of an eye, to allow yourself to step inside. Now you're going to step inside and you're going to place your feet as though there were stirrups or as though there were footholds or something of this sort, where you can place your feet solidly. And you're going to reach above your head and grab hold. Grab hold of perhaps straps or perhaps a hand-holding place, whatever. So that when you are standing within this double tetrahedron, indeed, your left foot, your right foot are far enough apart to create a solid base, a solid stance, a standing tall, a confident stand, a self-esteeming stand, a self-loving stand, certainly so.
Not to encourage it, but unfortunately, why don't politicians ever tell us that? They give us these wonderful lectures like Jack Kemp and Dan Quayle. They leave that part out for some reason. At any rate, this is a fundamental problem for any democratic theory to have so much power over media into so few hands. I mean, the average American now spends 11 hours and 40 minutes a day with some form of media. Basically, it's the province of these two dozen companies. They have us for half the day, not half the waking day, half the day, literally.
That's memory. I don't remember that. It's not a part of my memory. That is so. Because your personal memory is very selective, is calibrated, and you understand this. But that's to understand cosmic memory begins by understanding memory. A brief explanation, admittedly so. Cosmic memory. Cosmic. An adjective that describes a particular kind, a particular type, a particular nature of memory. Cosmic means vast beyond vastness. Universal. Cosmic means complete, whole, one, ordered, orderly, harmonious. A cosmic truth, a cosmic answer, a cosmic view. One that is universal, that is complete, orderly, and harmonious. Cosmic memory is not a personal memory, but is a universal, vast beyond vast, complete, orderly, harmonious memory. It is a receptacle, a container that holds, yes, emotions, rich with thought and feeling. Yes, the precipitation, the condensation of those emotions, rich with function and form, rich with events. But of what? But of what? We put it this way, again, knowing that the description cannot completely express is a limitation of what cosmic memory is. Cosmic memory is the memory of your world. Every emotion that has ever been felt, every thought, every feeling, every form and function, every pattern, every event. Not just those events, for example, that one chooses to remember, that by whatever method is called the history, or is the institutionalized record of events, but all events. cosmic memory is the memory of your world. More vast than vast, it is the memory of your universe. Every emotion, with all of its thoughts and feelings that went into creating the space and then filling it, are there. The precipitation of those emotions retained, held in this cosmic receptacle that is memory. The memory of your world and of your universe. That's cosmic memory. Secondly, it is more than that. It is the memory of all worlds, within and without your universe, and of all universes. I can't conceptualize that, of course not. I don't know what that means, of course not. But that's what cosmic memory is. The memory of your world and your universe, the memory of all worlds and all universes. The cosmic memory is the memory of oneness beyond the illusion, beyond the duality, beyond space, time. It is the memory of oneness, of being one, at one, more being one. It's no more than a wisp, but it's there. Cosmic memory is, and we put it this way, the memory of consciousness. Not of consciousness, but of consciousness. The emotions, the forms, the functions of consciousness, the patterns, and the events of consciousness. Cosmic memory. Fifthly, cosmic memory is the primal seed beyond oneness and before consciousness. Sixthly, cosmic memory holds the orbs of mystery. Three orbs of mystery are held and are cosmic memory. And finally, cosmic memory is the memory of God, Goddess, all that is. Of all that is. Of God. Of Goddess. Vast. More vast than vastness. Complete. supported. Harmonious. Where did magic begin? In cosmic memory. Where did mystery begin? In cosmic memory. From the memory of the world and universe to the memory of all worlds and all universes, to the memory of oneness and of consciousness, to that primal seed beyond oneness and before consciousness. To the orbs of mystery. To the memory of God, Goddess, all that is, God and Goddess. No, you cannot define it clearly, completely. You cannot fully describe it. But you can find it and enter it. And in your exploration, you can touch and be touched by it. You can unlock and receive pieces of what is there. And you can unlock and receive pieces of what is only there. Nowhere else outside of cosmic memory. Accessing. There are ways you can activate, and in that activation, lift your magic to new levels, to new octaves of expression, of creation, of manifestation. Before we move on to talk of how you access, we want to talk a little about that mysterious sixth component. For you can garner in your way a lofty sense, albeit but a sense of the memory of the world and of the universe, and even you can
be titillated and thrilled and enchanted by the very idea of the memory of worlds and universes far beyond your own. Likewise, with oneness and consciousness, you can have a certain sense, even though it's not true, that you understand those things, and you can find some comfort in that illusion. And it can be a springboard, even to that of something that lies beyond oneness and before consciousness. Though there are few words, if any, to describe what that might be, you can feel a certain resonance of such a thing or such a state, like with the memory of God, Goddess, all that is, dumbfounded by what that would be, but enchanted by the fact that it is. But what of this orb, these orbs of mystery? And there are, as we'll define at this juncture, at this time, in time and space, there are three orbs. Within the first orb, and you might call them domains, but in this first orb, this first sphere, this first domain of mystery, being, being before beginning. That's one component. Being that predates, antedates, that is before and after, that is outside of beginning. Another component is a vortex, all-inclusive, all-embracing, a mysterious vortex, all-inclusive, all-encompassing, all-embracing, before beginning. And there is a third component. There is a oneness of being before beginning with the all-inclusive vortex before beginning. What is this being before beginning? Is that God? Goddess? No. It's being before beginning. Well, what's this vortex that's all inclusive? A vortex of what? A vortex of all-inclusiveness. A vortex of all-encompassingness. It's not of anything, and it's not of nothing. Being before beginning. And a vortex of energy? No. A vortex that all-encompassing, all-inclusive, before beginning. And then the mixture, the coming together, as if the same but different. The oneness, the complexity of being before beginning and the
all-inclusive vortex before beginning. That's one orb.
John Waters, I'm addicted to cigarettes, PlayStation 2, and hallucinogens. I promised myself that I would not forget to thank my beautiful wife, Lisa, and my babies, Ezekiel and Audrey, my mother, Dina, my brother, David, and most of all, my father, Johnny, who's not with us today. But Eric and Darren... I'm so appreciative of the collaboration we have as filmmakers, but even more so as friends. And thank you again for inviting me to help make this film. Palmer West, Jonah Smith, Bo Flynn, Nick Wexler, Scott Franklin, Scott Vogel, who'd I forget? Amir, Bill, Jeremy Barber. All you guys, thank you so much for having me. I want to thank my crew. I'd like to actually, dedicate a lot of this award. I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for the work of Clint Mansell, Jay Rabinowitz, and James Chinlin, who's not here today as well. My crew, Gary Martone, Phil Testa, Jim Bartolomeo, thank you so much for supporting me, even though the ideas might have seemed a little crazy at the time. I don't know, I'm forgetting somebody. My agent, Patty Mack, Colleen Dolan, and thank you, IFP.
I lost a lot of respect for myself. I would lie, cheat, and steal to get ecstasy. And I was never like that. I was always I was a cheerleader. I grew up in Long Island, and I was never the type to do these sorts of things. But once it got a hold of me, it really didn't let go, and I needed help. And luckily, my parents stepped in, and they took charge, and they helped me out, and they put me through a treatment program. And since I've been in recovery, I've made a lot of changes in my life. I've been clean for almost a year and a half now, and I've made a lot of steps to help my self-esteem, my self-respect, develop positive ways of coping with my problems, which led me to use ecstasy also. I didn't want to deal with my feelings. I didn't know how to express my feelings to other people, and that's why I think I hid under ecstasy. I miss it, but it was fun, but it didn't do me any good in my life, and I want to be something when I get older. So I miss the peaceful feelings and the illusion that everything's okay, but I need to remember that I'm capable of dealing with my feelings and my problems as they come up, and that I don't need to live in the cloud of ecstasy.
Climbers risked their lives to go up and try and rescue them, and two of our climbers did make it up to the area where most of the climbers were, and started doing what they could for first aid. Where I was, I could radio advice, but we realized we'd have to get the survivors back down if I was going to treat them at all. There was no way that I could get up to that height, and there would be nothing I could do for them at that height anyway. So,
what did you do to prepare in the hopes that climbers would come down, knowing that if they did come down, they would need help?
Well, I was at in a place where I was on a 45-degree icy slope. It's just a notch cut into the mountain. The camp is really, it's just enough room for a tent, and you can't even stand up without roping yourself in. It's bitter cold. Everything freezes. I had very little equipment with me. I just had that plastic bag worth of supplies. My supplies were 2,000 feet lower down. So we felt that if we could get the survivors down to the next lower camp, Camp 2, we'd have a much better chance of treating them and keeping them alive. Climbers would have to stay overnight at Camp 4, which was already a dangerous place to stay, but there was just no way we could bring them down that late in the day. So we waited overnight. The climbers did survive overnight, and as they were being brought down by the rescuers, I myself down climbed 2,000 feet to that lower camp. So what I did was I took the New Zealand camp's mess tent, which was the largest tent in the area, and turned that essentially into a little field hospital. I laid out foam mats on the ice and sleeping bags on top of those. We collected sets of dry clothes because I anticipated that the climbers would be soaked and they would have to get out of their freezing clothes. I hooked up IV bags from the tent, which had to be defrosted first in warm water. And we had oxygen tanks. I opened them up, got them ready, put out my bandages, my medications, and I had the Sherpas boil up as much water as we could because I anticipated some severe frostbite. I knew I'd have to warm their body parts.
Self-respecting and worthy stand as well. Your hands stretched up and out, almost as though you're standing there somewhat spread-eagled, your arms up and out to either side, your feet down and out to either side, standing there in this double tetrahedron. Now, the way it is you is certainly so is with your imagination to begin to spin it. Now, you can spin it clockwise or counter the clock, whatever feels right. Try one. If it feels good, try the other. See which feels right to you. There is no particular right way, wrong way. Just that it spins round and around. It's sort of, one might think, of a wonderful, glorious sort of cage that is around you. This double tetrahedron, this sort of amusement that you are stepping into, holding your hands high above your head, grabbing on, placing your feet below, stretched out wide to create a solid base, and thus to begin to spin slowly, and you sense the front and you rotate clockwise, counter the clock, whichever, slowly, sensing where you're back, one full circle, another and another, and you let the spin increase, you allow the spinning to go faster and faster and faster. Now, at a certain time, you lose a sense of front. You lose a sense of when you've completed one circle. It'll become much more of a blur, and that's the idea. To let it blur, to become that spinning faster and faster and faster till you lose your sense of logic, you lose your sense of reason, till you lose your sense of space, till you lose your sense of time. As it is spinning so very fast, certainly so in the imagination, pretending, making it up. Your mind, beyond your brain, doesn't care whether you're literally spinning and whether you're not. It will respond, it will react.
Adam Newton, WZBC. Under fiat from God, Goddess herself, we get to play whatever we want. 90.3 FM. New Metaphysics right now. Gary Geiserman. Strap down good and tight, especially for part two, where I gotta be strapped down gooder than good. Wet those leather straps in hot oil and squeaky squeak them down tight. Because there's some concepts coming up that dissolve as they appear, and disappear as they are grabbed at. Even their memory slips away. Because this is the year of these concepts. It's the year of the mountain. Not for the squeamish. Certainly not for the majority. And even for the minority, it slips away the more you grab onto it. Teaching a very valuable lesson. And also the seminal point for the next 9 years. Things that happen this year, anonymously, under the folds, very quietly, quiet, below manifestation level, have the maximum effect on those things visible for 9 and 9 times 9 and exponential years to come. My turf, where I'm from, what I dig, what I am, and what the times today is. The flux in between the two parted halves of the Red Sea of flux itself. Or what's in between, what's in between, and all of its extended ambient family in all dimensions, plus fanning out in some form related to the point in question, where or whatever that may be. The motivation for much electronica and what electronica is, has, will be today. The future that's pulling whatever this present is, and that side of the wave you dig it on. I'm at home. I don't know about you. Deviants all. It's your time. The sun rises on that upon which, in this civilization, it has never risen on before.
Masseter muscles. Bruxism, which is the grinding of teeth that Senator Biden was alluding to with the pacifiers. Hypertension, heart palpitations, headache, hyperreflexia, difficulty walking, urinary urgency, anorexia, muscle tension and aches, dry mouth, hot and cold flashes, nystagmus, which is a rhythmic movement of the eyes, and insomnia. Now, more acute and serious medical conditions of ecstasy use have also been reported and include blurred vision, illusions, visual hallucinations, motor tics, corneal erosions, urinary retention, paresthesias, fainting, and decreased respiratory rate.
Halloween from now on. No shit.
Improbable. They regard that as a challenge to be met.
Do you think at this point in the history of GNU Linux that the only people who can successfully use it are people who really understand the source code and who are computer experts and experts in computer language?
I don't think you have to understand the source code, but I think it is fair to say that you need to have a fair degree of computer expertise. And the reason for that is the power of this kind of software derives in great part from its flexibility. But as we know, flexibility can be a problem for people who don't want flexibility. And I think that it's going to be a few years before you see GNU Linux systems turning up regularly on the desktop. But it's important to remember that 3 or 4 years ago, people said, well, you'd never find GNU Linux in business, whereas the latest market research indicates quite clearly that it is already the second most important operating system after Windows.
And with Linux, what are the relationships between Linux and these, you know, very corporate, very profit-making companies?
Well, it's certainly been a very interesting and important development. Last year, IBM announced a massive vote of support for Linux, and this year I think they've announced they'll be investing $1 billion in supporting Linux further. Now,
this is the ultimate consequence. This is the ultimate consequence of having broken off this symbiotic relationship with the vegetable, feminine, maternal matrix of the planet. This is what ended partnership. This is what ended balance between the sexes. This is what set us on the long slide.
This concludes Side A.
Ecstasy intoxication increases the risk of fatal accidents, especially automobile wrecks.
At your bank or post office and help to keep America on guard.
The holiday season comes to Broadway, the joyful time of the year bringing pageantry to Father Knickerbocker's big town. Big Father Knickerbocker, proud, inflated, a swelled head. All signs point to the most prosperous holiday season the nation has had since the Depression hit. Gaiety along the Great White Way. Twice as much business as the two-headed man. Towers of Times Square, Manhattan's center of merriment. Millions for mirth. And there comes the Indian who sold Manhattan Island for $24. They certainly must have had a depression in those days. But now the nation prepares for a most prosperous, which really makes it a Merry Christmas.
How many people made it down who you ended up treating?
There were two critical climbers who came down. Beck Weathers, the American climber who got a lot of publicity in the United States, and a Taiwanese climber named Makalu Gao, who was in very similar condition as Beck. They both had severe frostbite and hypothermia.
Well, how did you treat Beck Weathers? Many Americans saw the photos of his extreme frostbite when he came down from the mountaintop. He wasn't expected to live. Go ahead.
Yeah, he was not expected to live. In fact, when we first heard about Beck, we heard that he was dead. That was our first report. He had been found in the snow at Camp 4 and pronounced dead. And our rescuers were tending to the other ones who were still alive when Beck suddenly just appeared out of a swirling fog. And he just staggered into base camp. And I remember getting the radio report from one of the rescuers. He said, Beck is alive, but I don't know for how long. We really weren't sure he'd even survive the night. But he did survive the night, and he was brought back down to us. When I caught up with him at Camp 2, I expected an incoherent, a half-conscious phantom. But he walked into the tent, and he said, Hi, Ken, where should I sit? He was really very well-oriented, much better than I expected.
Ketamine were taken. It is believed that the ketamine was sold on the streets of Special K. The young man of whom I just spoke was stopped in Arkansas, returning to Delaware with over 90 bottles of ketamine. In 1999, during the interview of an informant, I was told that MDMA, along with other drugs, is being processed in chemistry labs of prominent colleges and universities. Many of the ingredients can be purchased on the internet and processed in a laboratory. They are then transferred to or offered for sale at rave dances as well as teen clubs. A young pizza delivery man told us during an interview that he had delivered pizza to a resident in a beach community. He observed 5 gallon buckets full of pills, which he was told was ecstasy. He was then invited to try some of the pills. Identify persons as sellers or as users, and also go to identify what type of drugs they're selling or using. What we're dealing with here is not children. We're dealing with a very complex subculture of teens and young adults.
I'd like to tell you about a remarkable radio station.
Baby, let me in! 100.7%!
Classic.
Right in the
back lane. Rock.
Hope you guessed my name.
Classic rock 10 in a row.
All day. Every day.
The CLX workforce taking care of business. 100.7.
Boston's classic rock.
You have a remarkable mouth.
Well, ZLX is a remarkable radio station.
Baby!
lots of mental hands going out. What does that mean? It's a mystery. The second orb also has three components. One of the components, and we don't say the first, one of the components in this second orb is beginning before it has become. It is beginning before it has begun. Another component. It is not the function of a thing, but the functionality before it functions. And there is a third component, or an other component, a oneness. A oneness of beginning before it begins, and of an all-inclusive, ceaseless function before it functions. The ceaseless, the unending function before it functions together with beginning. Before it begins. This, the second orb, the third orb, one of its components wholeness. Possibility before it is possible. Not the whole of possibility, the wholeness, referencing the essence of possibility before possibility happens, before possibility is. The space for every possibility, not just what you can imagine or what the greatest minds in your world you might imagine can imagine, but the wholeness of possibility before it's possible. Another component, the unending, all inclusive, ceaseless expression of potential. And the third component, a oneness once again, of the wholeness of possibility before it's possible, and the unending expression of potential. It is here that one finds the birthless birth of spirituality. It is here that the divine begins its relationship and partnership, where God, Goddess, all that is, begins their partnership with God, Goddess, all that is. It's here where being and beginning begin. Where a vortex with ceaseless function and unending expression function and express. It's where a oneness of being and vortex before beginning, a oneness of beginning before it has begun, and function before it functions, and a oneness of possibility and potential express, precipitate, begin out of mystery, power out of mystery, magic. It is in this third orb that one finds the thoughts that thinking thinks, the creativity that creativity creates, the images that imagination imagines, and the magic, where one finds magic's magic. And it is in this third orb where spirituality in a birthless birth is born. All that is begins their relationship, their partnership with God, Goddess, all that is.
Not chaos, it's connection. Life reaches out
for life. That's what we were born for, isn't it? To stand on a new world and look beyond it to the next one. It's who we are.
Range 6783 and closing 65 minutes until Mars orbital capture.
Okay, people, let's look sharp now. We're going to run this simulation one more time. Remember, if we overshoot, there's no coming back.
Yeah, and drifting through eternity will ruin your whole day.
Okay, Delta V, systems initialized.
Charge primary APU.
Engaged and charged.
Select HPU fuel cells for run.
Engaged.
Time main bus to systems.
Power ready.
Select H202 HPU and fuel cells for open.
H202 fuel valves open.
Charge flow.
Charged and online.
Reset PW.
Set.
Transfer protocol data from EVA station.
Transferred. Awaiting track confirmation.
Meteoroids.
Kill those alarms.
Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert.
Breach hits in the hull.
We're outgassing, losing pressure.
What do you see of the breach? Looks like it's behind Jim's helmet.
90% atmosphere. Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert.
Losing pressure fast. We're going to decompress.
Computer, how long till zero atmosphere?
4 minutes, 9 seconds.
Still outgassing in the lower hab. Must be another hole down there. Got to be a big one.
Everybody switch to suit oxygen. Jim, you got the ship. I'm going EVA.
Copy.
Come on, people. Let's work the problem.
Percent atmosphere.
Jim, you gotta go get your spare helmet. Copy that, Jim?
There's no time. All those systems have crashed. I gotta shut down the hab from below.
We're losing pressure, Jim. You could embolize.
Percent atmosphere.
Phil, you've got to get the nav computers back online.
Jim, I've got an idea. If you guys can save enough atmosphere, I'll disconnect the power in the main computer bay and jumpstart the systems. I'd basically be doing a hard boot.
Has that been tested?
Are you kidding? These machines are way too expensive.
Do it.
Okay. I think this will work.
60% atmosphere.
Jim, how are we doing on the AG?
Just hang on. 1 second, Woody.
50% atmosphere.
Come on.
Jim, I've got oxygen.
Voice print identification.
McConnell.
Not accepted. Voice print identification.
McConnell.
Accepted.
Shut down. Gravitational rotation.
Shutting down artificial gravitational rotation.
Jim, I've got the oxygen for you.
Hang on!
40% atmosphere.
Are you okay?
Yeah, fine.
I'm topside, Jim. Do you know which sector?
I'm working on it.
You better get some oxygen, Jim.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Okay, come on. Come on, where are you, you little bastard?
Give me some light in the hole so I can locate it.
I got a better idea. Gotcha. Terry. Squeeze out the liquid. Stay there. Squeeze it out!
Jim.
Okay. Okay. Please work.
Thirty percent atmosphere.
Woody, the bridge is between sectors 5 and 6. 5 and 6. Do you copy?
Copy. I'm heading there now. Son of a bitch. You never did that in the simulator.
20% atmosphere.
Jim? Jim, talk to me. It's Terry. Jim.
Come back.
Breathe.
Come back. Gotcha.
Pressure stabilizing. Pressure stabilizing.
Jim?
20% atmosphere.
Hi, welcome back.
30% atmosphere.
It worked. Yes, it worked. Way to go, everybody. All right. Yeah.
There's a lot of scarring out here. I'm going to check for other punctures.
Orbital insertion proximity alert. Orbital insertion proximity alert.
Negative, Woody. That is a negative. You have to get back inside. We have to do our checklist for orbital insertion.
Copy. I'm on my way.
Don't do this out of altruism, and the reason they're doing this is because it solves a major problem for them. If you look at the IBM line of hardware, they have supercomputers, they have what are called mainframes, the very big pieces of iron that do the main sort of number crunching, they have mini computers, they have PCs, and hitherto those have all been completely incompatible. It was very difficult to get them to talk to one another. It was impossible to get one program that ran on one to run on another. Now, along comes GNU Linux, which they are porting, in other words, transferring to all of their hardware. What happens now? If you write a program that runs on your PC running GNU Linux, that same program will run on a mini computer, that same program will run on a mainframe, it will even run on a supercomputer. You don't need to change a line of code. So,
the mythologies of Isis, Osiris, and Horus in Egypt, and the mythologies in the more ancient land of Sumer, are based upon this serious connection. In your modern world, many of the myths are only held alive in the old wives' tales, and even those are now being lost to the younger generations. But some of you are old enough to remember your mother's or grandmother's warning about the dark days of summer, right? July 23 to September 15, the dark days of summer. For reasons long since forgotten, these were special days of cleansing and purifying. They were special days of readying and preparation for the days of harvest, for the days of bounty that would follow. The dark days of summer correspond to the mystical cycle of the dark star constellation, to the magical days of Sirius. During those days, the vortex of Sirius, the vortex of the goddess, opens, and an energy of cleansing, purifying, readying, and preparing flows into your universe and into your world.
If you wish to fall into a delightful sleep so you can rest, you may do that instead. Your decision will be made when I count to five. 1. Remembering what you have learned. 2. With a greater sense of love and appreciation for your unconscious mind. 3. Times faster at reading. 4. You are much more efficient in your reading now. And 5.
We laid him down on the mat and on the sleeping bag, and we started an IV. And I started to examine him, and he had the worst frostbite I've ever seen, and I've seen quite a bit of frostbite. His right hand and wrist were purple and frozen, and all the way to a third of the way up his forearm. His left hand was also frozen. His nose was just a brittle black crust. It looked as if he would sneeze, he would just blow it away.
Come before!
like to express our appreciation to the United States Marines, the British Commonwealth Occupation Forces, the French Legume, and the Hong Kong Fireworks Company, without whom all of this would not have been necessary.
Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert. Critical systems alert.
Watching Babes in Khaki on the Late Late Show for a Saturday night. Stay tuned for Early Bird Theater when George Metesky meets danger in the form of a beautiful woman in Lucky.
Anointed with oil on troubled waters, O heavenly grid, help us bear up thy standard, our chevron flashing bright across the gulf of compromise, standing humble on the rich field of mobile American thinking.
Los Angeles, he walks again by night.
~90% atmosphere. ~70% atmosphere.
Copy that, Jim.
Please turn the tape over. Side B.
examine the options available and put in place archaic options which will restore this balance. To the good credit of people like Dick Schultes and Gordon Wasson and Albert Hoffman, we have in this century taken into our hands the tools, the information, and the means to do this.
Percent atmosphere.
Make money on Linux, or are they just using Linux to make their own operation easier?
Well, they're certainly using it to make their operation easier. They're also using it, quite frankly, for tactical reasons, because anything that is a problem for Microsoft is clearly an advantage for them. But there are sound business reasons why they should back it, because IBM in particular was moving increasingly towards a service revenue model, rather than producing hardware, rather than producing just software. In other words, you effectively give somebody the razor and then you sell them the razor blades on top. And what this amounts to is giving them the software, in other words GNU Linux, and then providing plenty of consultancy, plenty of support. In fact, all those things which hitherto Linus and all his brilliant programmers haven't provided. So in fact, there's a wonderfully complementary relationship between the open source movement and big companies like IBM and HP and Compaq, who can now provide those things which were absent from the early days of the open source movement.
From my perspective, and that so much so that people are bringing you to Brazil, to, you know, in the land of shamans, and into all sorts of areas that normally people would not consider you equipped, you as being white man from the city, equipped to use these powers, etc.
Is inflation
another way for you? You can only get out of the system what you put into it. And here, all of a sudden, science assumes the language of religion and creates not only something out of nothing, but everything out of nothing.
Having a merry old time here. Down at the at Ye Old Radio Station. Just a guy talking. If we subtract all the effluvia, which I always like to do. WZBC out of Newton. More effluvia. Cultural overlay. Not one of my favorite things in the living nightmare of the Matrix. Or was, excuse me. The Matrix. Co-invented by Isaac Newton, who also invented Newton, Massachusetts, and the Fig Newton as well. I mean, the man had to eat. Gary Geiserman right here. New Metaphysics. Worldwide Live. They can get me in a Quonset hut in Tahiti in the Outer Laying Islands where they have radios but no AC outlets to jack them in. Jack. At least so I'm told by missionaries who fell from grace, and the Pope don't like them no more because they fell out of the cult. They took a left and a right instead of a right and left kind of thing. I know how that can be. I basically do left instead of right instead of left my whole freaking life. Because I'm betting on the big one. The big, big one. Not the big one. The big one. For me. Just talking subjectively, one man speaking alone into the wilderness type of thing. You know that. It's what we all do. And so I'm basically finding out that I'm Mr. Backwards. And if you truly do something backwards, you're not really doing it unilaterally backwards at all. That's sideways. That's somebody else's trip. The crab people, I think. I'm not into that myself. Don't particularly like the crab. But the backwards, that I like. So you take all variables in a binary holographic standing wave illusion universe, like here in the heart of time space, all call letters, all called out. You split them all, point of bifurcation, I believe, in the trade. And you free float both of them at all times. Never a referent, my friends. Never. Space invaders in all dimensions at all times, including whether it's a game or not. Infinitely receding horizon. And of course, this would be in both directions at the same time. Of all things you can think of at all times, in all directions. Well, I think you get the picture. It's the pictureless picture that would always be there. If it were ever there. Anyway, it's a phase in the loop. That I dig. Not for everybody. But I gotta tell you. Normally, this phase would remain behind the scenes, would have its various moments in the sun, as it were, and then a new day would dawn on other phases. You know how holography works. Spiraling loop. Living loop. Always taking in from the outside. Knows who it is. Tautology. And gives forth. of itself, reproducing, copying, with a twist, always the twist. So never in the appearance of this loop would you ever see this phase I'm talking about. Never. That's the phase. Normally, this would never get talked about. But of course, this is not a regular kind of time going on right now.
Danger. Danger.
And I pulled down a lot of action in this phase when I planned this lifetime for myself. As we all always do down around these parts. And I dolloped a big dollop of that stuff on my platter. It's not double or nothing, it's double or quadruple. Forget the other side. Other side will remain indetermined at all times. The ETA will forever be E. But since these are not your regular mom and pop, not your granddad's kind of time now, things never talked about before, deeds never even imagined before, happening now. Don't look to the matrix or the current schema of things for any kind of verification, because that's a receding, infinitely recursive horizon under one. We want it like that. Because we get to see and live what's never here. So get used to it. Get another kick in the pants about who you really are. Normally, I would never tell you who you are or what amount of this phase you've got in you. But these are not regular times. In fact, just the opposite. This is the time. It's time for this. And in fact, it's been time for this. Don't have to tell you. You already know. And I'm digging it. If I can live through it. It's gone public. Cross-dressing itself to glory. The triumph in exaltation. my fave. Hit the plasmic highest high note. Bring closure to closure. And looking for more. Which is closure, I believe. And now it can be said. The answer to all the questions. But as they say up in that very alien land called Maine, which makes Boston look good, you can't get there from here. You have to jump edit, splice. Splice, Mr. Jones, and keep a splicin'.
Prepare to initiate burn. Prepare to initiate burn.
Okay, we're ready to light this candle. Go, no go for breaking burn and MOI. Engines.
Online.
Go. Systems.
Online.
Go.
Nav.
Online.
Go. We are go for the burn. I am fueling engines.
Flow charger. Online. Flow charger activated.
Optimum angle of entry in minus 7 degrees.
Countdown to initiate burn for orbital insertion.
6.
Orbital insertion proximity alert.
4.
Optimal insertion angle approaching.
Jim.
3.
Optimal insertion angle imminent.
2.
One.
Let's go to Mars.
Attitude incorrect.
Shut down the engines.
Engines negative. No response. I have got no attitude control.
Manual separation below the bolts.
Negative. The control module doesn't have enough thrust to correct this rotation.
We're too steep. We're falling into the atmosphere. Christ, this angle, we're going to burn up.
How much time we got, Phil?
I don't know. 3 minutes? I don't know.
Where's the remo?
Resupply module? Why? There's no way we're going to be able to link up.
Where is it?
Resupply module located. Resupply module located.
It's close.
How close?
I don't know. That's going to take some time.
Figure it out. We don't have time, Phil. Figure it out now.
Jim, we're dead stick. There's no way to maneuver this ship into link up.
Not the ship. Just us. We go EVA.
You want us to transfer in suits?
Jesus, Jim, if we don't make it, if we miss the remo.
There's no other choice. Phil, how close?
Intersection orbit with remo. Course intersection plotted.
1 kilometer, that's the best I can do.
Prepare to abandon ship. Let's go.
This force. You said it came directly out of the top of the mountain?
Don't you believe me? That's okay, Jim. You don't believe me, that's okay. But I'm not crazy. I know that much. I'm not crazy.
What do you mean by it's secret? What secret?
Listen, hundreds of millions of years have gone by, okay? You've got erosion, lava flow, sandstorms, meteor impacts. Hell, in that much time, the whole surface of the planet would have changed. So it's no wonder we never saw it before. I mean, we saw it, but not like they meant us to. There was too much dirt on it.
So what, look?
Saw this.
What are you trying to tell us? You're trying to
tell us that that's the face. It's the face. It's real. Somebody put that thing there. It's not us.
Jim. It's not possible.
What about the sound you heard before the explosion?
Oh, yeah, good, Jim. That's the key. That's the key. It's always 333. It's always the same. And see, for months I struggled to analyze it, you know, trying different constructs, and then I thought about dimensions.
XYZ coordinates.
Exactly. Three groups equals three dimensions. So I assigned different graphic values to each block, group, and tone, and I came up with this. Hello.
Oh my God. Is that what I think it is?
DNA.
You see it?
Yeah. It's a model of DNA.
So somebody left that thing here. Okay. Somebody other than human. But, what is it?
It's a signature. It's a self-portrait of whatever species created the face.
That DNA looks human.
No, it's not. It's missing the last pair of chromosomes, see?
It's close. It's damn close.
Close? The difference between man and ape is less than 3% genetic material. But that 3% gives you Einstein, Mozart.
Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, he's right.
Vortex opens more than usual, and the flow that is more than a trickle happens. It happens every day of the year, absolutely, but in those days it happens more powerfully and more profoundly.
Second orb, the ceaseless function, of consciousness before it is conscious, the ceaseless function of self, capital S, before it is self, capital S, the all-inclusive function. Alliance in the orbs, and out of it a relationship with God. God is all that is. And who would have that first relationship? Where would such a relationship begin? With God, Goddess, all that is. Cosmic memory holds the secrets within the orbs of mystery. which we've just delineated in a way that you do not understand. It is a mystery. How do you relate to it? It doesn't make any sense to me. It scares me, it intrigues me. I want to grasp onto it and understand it before the night is done. I want to figure it out at least by Tuesday. But it provides an avenue of exploration that, like its nature, is unending, ceaseless, with its potential, whole, complete, orderly, harmonious with its possibility. For these orbs of mystery exist prior to spirit seeking soul, and soul waiting to be found. Cosmic memory. You can't define it. You can't own it. You can't possess it. But you can find it. Enter it, explore it, and unlock and receive when touched pieces of what it holds for you and pieces of what it only holds. So how about that sense of accessing?
Signature.
What?
The noise from the face, it's not a signature. It's a test. It's asking us for the right answer. It wants us to put in the missing pair of chromosomes.
Why?
To prove that we're human.
We fired radar into that thing, concentrated radio waves, and you're saying...
Which interpreted as the wrong answer. It could be like a security alarm. When it gets an incorrect response, it defends itself.
So what happens when it gets the right answer?
Well, I don't know that, Phil. But we gotta find out. We work this the other way. We figure out which tones would be equivalent to the missing chromosomes and then dub them into your recording of the signal. Is that possible?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Good, good, good. What about the radar gun? Will it accept the input so we can transmit a completed signal back to the face?
ZBC and Newton, where our motto here in Newton is, don't always look to solve the mystery, just make love to it. 90.3 FM. .org 617-552-4686, and email for the major, GaryG4@Mac.com. GaryG4@Mac.com.
But there are problems more than just the theoretical one, because this sort of concentration accentuates the hyper-commercialism of our media system, the sort of commercial carpet bombing that we're increasingly inundated with.
When you scan the human brain and store all the little details in a computer, you've created a mind file. Some are bigger than others. My mind file is, like, really huge.
You know, when you get a new personal computer, you don't throw all of your files away, you copy them over. So your files have a longevity independent of the hardware that they exist on. They need hardware to come to life and have any kind of meaning. But they don't die when the hardware that they reside on stops functioning.
They simply didn't know what they were looking at, because who knows what the end looks like. The world of historical possibility concresses into a mercurial hologrammatic disc. And a UFO contactee is someone who has seen the end. The end. They simply didn't know what they were looking at. They simply didn't know what they were looking at is what the end looks like. knows what the end looks like.
There's information in our brains as well. I mean, it is information. Yes, the brain is not digital. It's digital controlled analog. It's massively parallel. We have 100 trillion things going on at one time. Medium, you'd have a person that acts very much like the person that was copied. Is that the same person? Is that entity conscious at all? Certainly would claim to be. Now, we can have virtual personalities claim to be conscious today, but they're not very convincing yet because they can't pass the Turing test. But 30, 40 years from now,
getting ready to tuck it back in the toothpaste tube. Yes, you can get it back in. It's getting it back in that seventh time, however, I want you to think about. Don't forget, the matrix you're living in is marching towards absolute zero of knowledge, wisdom, or any sort of being or enlightenment. Don't be fooled. Everything in it is wrong. All this stuff I talk about, all wrong, very, very wrong. Just don't know instead. Be much better off. And then you can find out. All this standard stuff. All wrong. Terrence McKenna, all wrong. Tim Leary, wrong. All of them. They were just running the ladder. Wasn't their specialty anyway. Be back next Thursday. WZBC 90.3 FM. The hits, baby. Remember, all wrong. Even if it seems right. Even if it's the last gasp, your champion, your hero. Wrong. Turing test, wrong. AI, pipe dream. Hidden agenda, dangerous, wrong. Living computer, wrong. All of science, wrong. Wronger every day, in fact. Every day that goes on, man knows less. And they're almost...